Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so excited about today's show because joining me is author Sunny Wessel. She has wrote a book that's going to teach each and every one of us how to have an intimate relationship with God. Have you ever heard about those people that hear from God on a regular basis or hear from God at all and wondering if that is really true or and can you also hear from God? Well, she and I talk about that on today's episode, so I hope you'll like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor, and the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, hit the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate to the program, or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. You can find me there. I have just been able to partner with another company to help save you guys some money. And I'm really excited to introduce to you, for all those preppers out there, I have partnered with Prepper All Naturals. So the preppers offer amazing high quality cooked and freeze dried beef for a long-term storage, so you can eat well today and tomorrow. So if you want to check them out, you check them out at freedomfirstbeef.com, freedomfirstbeef.com. And when you use promo code AMBER, you're going to save some money at checkout. So that's freedomfirstbeef.com, promo code AMBER at checkout. Well, without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Sunny to the program. Hey friends, like I told you, I have Sunny joining us today. She's an author and I cannot wait to dive into the topic today. Welcome, Sunny, to the program.
Thank you, Amber. It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience today.
Yeah, you know what? I heard some great things about you, so I couldn't wait to have you on the program. And so I need to get to know you a little bit better, and so does my audience. So tell us a little bit of background, because you've just wrote this incredible devotional, but I mean, you don't just wake up one day to write a devotional. So I'm sure there's a story of how you got to this point being an author. So if you could give us a little bit of background about you and then how you got to this point of authoring devotionals and Bible studies.
Sure. Happy to talk about that experience with the Lord. You know, He gives us invitations all the time, and we're all familiar with invitations. We get ordinary ones like to meet for lunch or coffee, to help, or maybe go play a game of tennis or golf, etc. And then there are more formal invitations, aren't there? Invitation to a graduation ceremony or to a wedding or a gala. But each invitation needs a reply from us. But do we always reply? Sometimes we forget, sometimes we're too busy, and who knows what important things we can miss because of not responding to the invitation. Well, like I said, the Lord gives us invitations all the time, and His invitations are generally to be with Him, to listen to Him, and most importantly, to belong to Him. That's the most important invitation of all. And I was riding on the back of a motorcycle, to answer your question, Amber.
Ooh.
Behind my husband. And I felt a nudge from the Lord that I was going to write a book.
Now, how old were you about this time when you're riding in the back of a motorcycle and the Lord spoke to you?
Oh, could have been 30 years ago or more.
Isn't that interesting? The time and place He decides to talk to you is when you're on the motorcycle.
Yeah, well, my husband and I weren't talking to each other while we're on the ride. And so I was spending time with the Lord, enjoying His company. And that was not a thought of mine, because it's not like I always wanted to be an author. Mm-hmm. Or that I'd taken a lot of classes in it. In fact, I asked the Lord, do I go to school? Do I take a course? What do I need to do to prepare? Because I felt like whatever he calls me to do, I have a part in. And I didn't get any kind of feedback like, yes, you're supposed to go to school or take a class on becoming an author. So I said to the Lord, all right, I think I heard your voice, Lord, and I believe when it's time for me to write this book, you'll let me know, and you'll let me know the subject, because I was curious, since it's not been something like, I just love certain genres or something. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to write my own book in that genre. And so years go by, and I visit the Lord about this subject occasionally. Okay. And ask him, what about this book you said I'm going to write? I do believe you. I heard you, and it was your voice. I think it's important to affirm what you believe you understand with the Lord. That way, if you miss something, God can correct you. He can nudge you, push you along the way. And I said, but, you know, I don't know what it's about and or what the title is. And still didn't get anything. Well, now at this point in my life, some years ago, I was thinking in terms of legacy. And I had this collection of all these papers that I had of where I'd been journaling since I was a teenager. Notes I'd taken and things that were especially dear to me, or things that I felt like God had caused the scripture to jump off the page, so to speak, to mm-hmm. me, and mm-hmm. highlighted it for me. And I thought, oh, that's so good, Lord. I don't want to forget it. I have to write it down. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I would go back to these entries, journal entries, to see what the Lord said to me about a certain subject, like trouble or stages in life, and just to kind of check up on myself and keep myself accountable to the Lord. So that's when I started thinking about legacy for my children and my grandchildren. I'm thinking, boy, the stuff we have is not that important. They live so far away, they might just sell it all in an estate sale anyway. But the most valuable thing I have are the things that you've said to me, Lord. And by that point in time in my life, I had been in some training at my church, leadership training, on how to journal in a certain method that Wayne Cordero, a pastor and an author, had developed. And it's called SOAP. You start with the scripture, and then the observation, and then you write the application, and then the prayer. And so I thought, that's what I need. When I'm gone, my children, what are they going to do with these handwritten notes? So many of them were handwritten. Then I got to using the typewriter. Then I got to using, it was on the computer. Then I got to, back in this training on journaling, I got to using little journal books. I thought, they might not even read it. Throw it away. Yet to me, they were the most valuable things that I have. And so that's when it came into my heart. That's what God wants me to write. And because I want to pass it along to my children and to my grandchildren and others that God has called me to influence, is to have intimacy with him. Mm-hmm. And that's how it came about.
Wow. That's incredible. So tell people, what is it like to hear from God when you hear from him? What does that look like? What does that sound like? What does that feel like when you talk to him? And this is your book, God's Special Invitation. And you can get this book on sunnysbook.com. That's Sunny, S-U-N-N-Y-S, book.com. So what does it look like? What does it feel like when you hear from God directly? Because some people have no idea of what it's like to talk to God and to hear him.
I understand. We all start somewhere. And hearing God's voice, vital to hearing God's voice, is having the word of God in your heart. Because the scripture says that hearing from God, hearing comes from the word. When you have God's word stored up in your heart, you're reading it, you're singing it, you're writing it out, then in your, as you go along in life, a scripture book can pop up into your head and you think, where'd that come from? A portion of a scripture. And you think, I believe God, this is God. And I'll give you an example. My husband and I moved from motorcycles to a slingshot. And that's a three-wheel bike that you sit side by side.
Oh, yeah. They look like the Batmobiles.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
I think they're so cool looking.
Yeah. So I'm riding along with my husband. He lets me drive sometime. And he's very into machines and how they sound and how the gears work. And so every now and then he'll coach me a little bit on it, very gently, not anything unkind at all. And so at this time I'm thinking about, he spoke to me about how I was shifting through the gears, and I bristled. You know, I thought, of all the times when we're riding along in the car, and I don't think I think you're too close or you're something else, you know, and I don't say a thing. Zip it up, you know, and you're talking to me about how I'm shifting through the gears. And then I hear this voice come up in my heart that says, a righteous man, that he will be smitten and he'll consider it a blessing, an oil, an ointment. I thought, oh, that's not my voice. I don't think like that. I don't think in
right.
That. I would consider being smitten as a blessing, an anointment. And I recognized it is from the word of God. And see, I really value reading through all of God's word, the entire Bible. And so that's not what I'd memorized. That's not what I wanted to hide in my heart, but that's what God brought up to me. And I thought, okay, Lord, I'm caught. You know, I had a bad attitude. I bristled. And he didn't mean anything unkind at all. And I should have just gone along with it in good nature. So that's what I mean about hearing God's voice. It's especially when you're his child. Mm-hmm. He says, my sheep know mm-hmm. my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my husband and I have been married nearly 58 years.
Congratulations. That's amazing. You should write a book about how to stay married in this time.
We're excited about celebrating this upcoming anniversary.
Good.
The reason I mentioned that is that when we talk to each other, which is several times throughout the day, often on the phone, he just say, hi, this is Wes. May I speak to Sonny? You know, when he's got me, he starts right in. When our children call, Brooke calls, he doesn't say, hi, this is Brooke, or our daughter, hi, this is Ray, because we know each other's voice. And that's what God says about his children. My sheep know my voice because mm-hmm. they've spent time with me.
Mm-hmm.
They know my ways. That's what God's invitation is to know him, to listen to him, and to spend time with him.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey, friends. New variants means new vaccines and even more scare tactics. You know, Dr. Peter McCullough gets asked all the time, how do I get this out of my body? Well, Spike Support Formula is the only product I've seen that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you've got the shot, you're watching research pour in about vaccine shedding, or you've had a bad bout of COVID, spike support is a serious concern. And while we won't truly know the extent of the devastating effects for many years, there is something you can do right now to protect yourself. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity and increased energy levels. Head to twc.health/AmberMay to buy the wellness company's spike support formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout and you will save some money. So that's twc.health/AmberMay to save some money at checkout.
Hey guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke and you are listening to the Amber May Show.
Hey, so when you are a guest at the Amber May's house, you get luxury. And how you get luxury is I have this sleeping couch, the sleeper sofa, and you're telling me that's not luxury. It is when you put a MyPillow mattress topper on it. All my guests that have come over and stayed at my house have really enjoyed this sleeper sofa, which says a lot because they're getting to sleep on the MyPillow pillows, and you get the MyPillow mattress topper, and then it doesn't stop there with the luxury, because when you shower at the Anna Mae Show's house, you get to have a MyPillow towel. I don't have the kids using it. I just let the adults have the luxury. So the adults get to use the MyPillow and they're phenomenal. And right now there's a massive sale going on with the MyPillow towels. So you should really put luxury into your home and live it every day like Amber Mae does every day. So I have a MyPillow mattress topper on my bed. I use the MyPillow sheets, the MyPillow towels, MyPillow slippers. I live luxury and I don't have to pay the luxury price because MyPillow has promo code. So use my name, Amber, and save up to 66% off, and you can live luxurious as well. You are listening to The Amber Mae Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. Oh, yeah, I agree with that 100%. So do you hear from God on like a regular basis or only sometimes? Have you ever drifted away from God during like big, huge moments in your life that were really difficult? Because, you know, I've heard from God, but I don't hear from him like with his voice, like on a regular basis, like every day. I don't hear his voice every single day. There's times where I've heard it and it's very distinct. It's very okay, all right, this is how it is. And other times, you know, I could go months without hearing him directly. Like, do you hear from him every day? And did you ever turn away from God at all in your life?
I do hear from him every day, Amber. Mm. I've learned in my walk with Jesus, and it has been progressive, that he wants to be entwined in my life. And I just love that picture, that he's so intimate. He wants to be entwined in our lives. And so I take to asking him questions frequently about, like, what do I wear today? Because I'm his representative. It's important to him how I present him. And so that's a simple question. And I'll say it back to him when I feel like I've had an answer. So if I miss it, I can get a correction, you know, just like you would repeat back to somebody who's given you instructions, and you might say, well, I think I heard you say, and you mm-hmm. tell them what you heard. And then if you've gotten off just a little bit, they can adjust what your thinking is. And so God wants to be entwined in our lives every day, and for us to have that kind of close fellowship. But, you know, for example, when Jesus taught the multitudes, they didn't always understand, even though he spoke in simple stories, simple mm-hmm. parables, and not even his closest friends, the disciples, understood. Mm-hmm. But it was when he got alone with his disciples that they would ask him, now tell us what that sower is. Tell us what the meaning of that seed is. And Jesus would explain it to mm-hmm. them. And that's why, if you think about how hard the devil fights us for having intimacy with him, then you would realize he's wanting you to not hear his voice. You would realize in his presence, the scripture says, in God's presence, there's pleasures evermore. That's one of the benefits, is the refreshing. Well, the devil doesn't want you refreshed. Mm-hmm. He wants you busy. He wants you frazzled. He mm-hmm. wants you burned out. And so this is a discipline that we just need to acquire and grow into, entwining our lives with the Lord so that we do hear him and recognize his voice in our daily lives.
And do you teach that in this book, God's Special Invitation, of how we can daily, literally hear God speak to us?
Thank you, Amber. Excellent question. Yes, I do. I have more than one lesson on that. And it's interactive. That's the best way that it teaches. You see a scripture and you read it and you read my observation about it and how I've decided to apply it and how I've used it in prayer. Because that's when things get really settled into your heart and spirit. Mm-hmm. It's when you pray it back to the Lord or sing it back to the Lord. And then you can have a chance to hear from God by answering the questions. And there's room. Here's a copy of my book, as you've seen it. There's room in there. I'll open up a page or two. And you'll see you can write. If I can turn just one page. Write in there. And journal your thoughts and answer to the questions. I haven't successfully turned just one page. There's a picture of hearing from God. This particular invitation is God has more. And his invitation is the world doesn't understand the genuine concept of abundance. It is an overflow of everything. Everything needed to succeed in life. And my plans for you will never lack resources. I will provide in full measure. Allow this truth to anchor your faith in times of uncertainty. And these are certainly times of uncertainty.
Oh, yes. I love what you just said. I just watched the movie Cabrini. And yes. It was about a nun in the early 1900s who had a burden to take care of the orphans. Especially the immigrants from Italy, they were looked down upon. No one thought highly of them. They got the worst jobs in society. And so if people saw Italian children on the streets, they were like riffraff. They were dirt. They were garbage. And here God sends this nun from Italy to New York City to take care of these orphans. And she had no money and no resources. And God, even though people wanted to close doors on her, God continued to offer her favor, resources, help, even though turning the hearts of men towards her that had originally told her no, men in powerful places that originally told her no. And she grew from a shack to like a mansion to house these children, and her ministry went worldwide. I know for myself that God has provided every single month that I needed money. Because there's always something that comes up that's unexpected. You know, you have your budget, you have your bills, and especially with the inflation and how everything is so expensive right now. I mean, everything's like almost tripled in price. And it's really hard to raise a family when everything's tripled in price and we're trying really hard, you know, to be good stewards of the money that God gives us. Mm-hmm. And when it looks like we're going to be short, God always gives us the exact amount we need to make it. Like, I don't always end up getting an abundance over. It's usually just the exact amount. And I think he does it on purpose. So we know that it's coming exactly from God, that it's the exact amount we need. Could he give me an abundance more? Sure. But I think it's a messaging from God to say, hey, look, I just provided exactly what you needed. What do you think about that?
Yes. And it's an exercise in learning to trust him. So that the next time God calls us to do things we can't do, like he called Cabrini. And like he called me to write this book. It was not my desire or intention to write a book, mm-hmm. but I did feel God appointed that for me. And what God has appointed for us, he provides the need. And we learn to trust him all along the way, so that the last time, next time we have a need, we can remember and give thanks for the last time he met our need, maybe unexpectedly, mm-hmm. just right down to the right time. And just the amount that we needed. So that
it's always just the right amount.
It's like his signature.
Yeah.
This exactly. Is
yep.
So yes, that's what.
You talk about being intimate with God now, okay?
Yes.
And what I could perceive, I don't know you very well, but what I could perceive, and maybe life's good right now, but I know you've been through some stuff in yes. your life that were very difficult. So what was that journey like for you? I mean, it's easy to talk about God and wanting to be close to him when life is good, but when life is really bad and life is difficult, that's not so easy to say.
That's an invitation from the Lord too. You know, in my life's journey, of course, I've experienced all the difficulties of life in marriage and family and finances and work, et cetera, like everybody else. But along the way, as I've fed and nurtured, you know, we don't eat just once a week or twice a week. We have to feed and clean ourselves and nurture our natural bodies. And we have to do that in our spiritual life too. We have to check for any filthiness and any uncleanness and get rid of it. We have to feed and nurture ourselves. And so as I grew along and walking with the Lord, I began to realize the spirit of fear, according to the scripture, does not come from God. So when in 2013, a lump appeared suddenly and very painfully out of my right thigh. And it kept me from sleeping that night until it was removed 6 months later. It was finally diagnosed, misdiagnosed it at first, but it was finally diagnosed as a malignant sarcoma. And I knew all along in that journey, that time till it got diagnosed correctly, that I needed to keep out that spirit of fear. I didn't know what I was battling. So by the time I'd been told it was cancer, I had already built up my faith in the Lord, feeding on God's word and his presence. And I just rested myself in his love and in his presence, knowing that according to the scripture, he has a good plan for me, for a future and a hope. And for a lot of people, they know that verse is from Jeremiah 29:11.
That's my favorite Bible verse in all the Bible verses. Yes.
Yes. And so I would not let in the spirit of fear. I had to watch what I saw and what I said. I never said my cancer. My father didn't give it to me. So I didn't have to accept it. See, our feelings, our pain, my pain was real. My sickness was real. But if it's not from Father God, we don't have to accept it. We don't have to keep it and say, I get mail and deliveries all the time. And sometimes they're addressed to somebody else. It's brought to the wrong address. It doesn't belong to me. So I don't accept it. I send it back to the sender or I take it over to my neighbor. So we don't have to keep every feeling we have, every negative thought we have. God says to submit ourselves to him. That's the first step. And then we resist the devil and he will flee from us. And that's what I maintained doing while I was battling cancer. And then 6 months later, it was removed surgically. And it was very aggressive. It grew to 7 by 14 inches in my right thigh. It looked like a Nerf football underneath my skin.
Wow.
It's about to burst. It weighed 5 pounds.
Wow.
It was so big. So thank the Lord. That's 11 years ago. I've been cancer-free ever since then. I've had other health challenges since then. But see, I remember. Thank you, Lord. You delivered me from the hands of the enemy. Because I don't know what the devil would have liked to have done with my life. He's always wanting to take us out before our time. So, but I knew that God had a good plan for me and a purpose for me. And that if I trusted him, that I did not have to be afraid. And I would not go before my time.
And what do you think about the times we're living in now as it relates to your book?
I think that you're going to find that there's so many benefits in being comfortable and knowing how to get into that secret place of the Most High, into God's presence. And one of those benefits is his presence. When I talked about being entwined with him, it's a wraparound presence where he'll be your armor. And where he will help you silence the voice of the enemy. And that's what I teach in this book. is how to find the wraparound presence of the Lord in a more meaningful way in your life, so that he becomes your armor and that you can silence that voice of the enemy that worries you, that would torment you, cause you to be dwell in fear and dread. That's not from the Lord.
That's something that a lot of us battle with on a regular basis, is the fear. And I love that you said the spirit of fear, because yes, it is a spirit of fear that comes upon us, or wants to come upon us. Because when we turn on the news, how they sell the news is from fear. Yes. COVID was sold to us through fear.
Yes.
Everything is being sold to us through fear, instead of putting our faith and trust in God. Now, there's so much happening in our world on a regular basis. We have so many people that do not love our country, and they were put in places of power, whether it was through election fraud or manipulation, I don't know, but they're put in places of power. But I do know from scripture that God could take them from power at any moment. And there must be a plan and a purpose why these people are sitting in offices of power. And I do see that God is trying to reveal all the evil and all the spheres of influence that have been controlled by, when I was reading Daniel chapter 10, God highlighted the prince of Persia, and he told me the prince of Persia is over your nation. That's all he said to me. And it was a long time ago he said it, and it stuck with me. And I've been praying against this prince of Persia, and I've been praying for the children especially. I had a burden like Cabrini for the children. Come to find out, we have such a huge child trafficking in our country that's taking place, where the current person who occupies the White House removed the DNA test, so that was put in place by former presidents, where I love the fact that they were forcing these DNA tests, because if I'm a parent and I have lost my kid to a trafficker, I'd want some way of reconciling myself to my child. And I thought, man, if the government held these children and had that DNA test to say, nope, you don't belong to this kid, then my kid is at least safe from being trafficked at that moment. I might not be with my kid, but at least it wasn't being trafficked. It was detained. Now, that's not wonderful, but at least it wasn't being trafficked. Mm-hmm. And maybe the government would have contacted me, or maybe I would have been able to make contact. I'm just putting myself in the shoes of these parents.
Yes.
Where they're not reconciled to their kids. Their kids are lost. So I I've been praying against the harm of the children from like the early 2000s. God told me about community gardens. I didn't know there was attack on the foods at the time. I was so confused. Like, why do we need community gardens? Okay, God, I'll talk about community gardens. Come to find out, there's an attack on the food supply system. Yes. So, I mean, community gardens, hello, that was a great way we could feed a community, is through these gardens. But God gave me that 20, 30 years ago, and it didn't make sense to me because I didn't know about the attack on the food supply. I mean, so God's given me some stuff that didn't make sense to me. I'd said it anyway. Sometimes, don't you feel foolish? I don't know. I felt foolish myself sometimes saying things that I don't understand, but I know God wanted me to say them. I'm like, really, God? Like, for instance, when I worked at the radio station, there was this man that worked in the building with me, and he was a younger man, and he just kind of looked down and depressed. And I didn't really know him very well. We would just say hi in passing. And God told me, go over there and tell him I love him. I'm like, God, that's going to be weird for me. I don't even know the guy's name. He will probably think I'm weird. Go and tell him. And he wouldn't stop until I went over there and I said, I just wanted to let you know, God wanted you to know he loves you. I felt so weird about it. Why should I feel weird when there's Hollywood people doing demonic rituals on stage? And I felt so weird telling him God loves him. That is so stupid. That should not have been like a question. Like, I should have just walked over there immediately and said, God loves you. How hard is that? Yet we have Hollywood people doing demonic rituals on TV. I'm like, I don't know. Those have been some of my experiences. I don't know if you've had anything similar where you feel silly saying or doing something, but ends up there's a real purpose behind it.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey friends, are you looking for a financial planner you can trust? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management. I work with a wonderful team of individuals, and my part in the team is the marketing director and one of the insurance professionals. Our investment strategy works in an up or down market. It actually works harder for you in a down market. So we have an income-based approach versus a growth-only approach. If you are interested in a strategy that's going to work harder for you, even in a down market, are you looking to own some gold and silver? Well, look no further than EPS Wealth Management, because we can lock in some great pricing for you and have it shipped right to your house hassle-free. How would you like to have a pension income for life? It's a great complement to income-based investing in the stock market, and the whole thrust is more income in retirement than you need and can easily spend so you can do the things you've always dreamed of doing and be able to help others in need and leave a legacy for your family. Income also doubles during times of health problems with where long-term care events occur, like dementia, cognitive impairment, having trouble getting in and out of bed. And even if you spend your account down to zero, your basic income will continue as long as you live. So if any of this financial planning is of interest to you, give us a call. Check us out at iloveeps.com. That's iloveeps.com, and let them know Amber sent you.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code AMBER at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/amber. That's patriotmobile.com/amber or 972-PATRIOT.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yes, and faith is amounts to taking a risk, because you don't know the outcome. But when you know the one who's prompting you, and you know he's good, and that he does all things well, then your faith will let go of the fear of the outcome, how it might impact you or impact those that are receiving it, and just let him have his way. But then you have this wonderful, exciting journey of hearing from God and following what he has to say and being a part of the story that he's writing and what he's doing. And there's no greater joy than that. And it does take faith.
Have you ever had to say something to someone or write something and you're like, are you sure, God? Are you sure I need to say this to write it? Yes. Can someone else do it? Or because I don't know, I've had those moments, and I mean, I'm glad I followed through, but for instance, I'll tell you another story. There was the so-called church. It's called Church of Christ, but they really don't teach anything about Bible. And I was driving by this church called the Church of the Beatitudes, Church of Christ. And so you would think, oh, Church of the Beatitudes, it must be a very good Christian church. They don't teach anything like scriptural. So they mix a lot of religions together. I didn't know that. So God kept telling me, go talk to that pastor, go talk to that pastor. Every time I drove by that church, I felt so weird. I said, fine, I'll do it, just to kind of make it stop. Right. I go in there and I talk to this. I asked, the pastor was free, you know, didn't he could see me. And I walk into his office and there's Buddha. Oh. I'm like, Buddha's in your office? That's kind of weird. Because what does the scripture tell us? There shall have no other gods before me, right? So here's another God in this church. And he came from like a Seventh-day Adventist background. And so I just was like talking to him and asking him about what his belief system was at the church, his background. And then I started telling him about how, you know, he is in a very high place and people's souls are in his hands, quote unquote, you know, not obviously they're really God's hands, but more or less like people are looking to him for spiritual advice and he could lead them astray and they can go into the pit of hell. Or he could lead them to the narrow path and have an everlasting relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just kind of talked to him, just felt to where I was led to talk to him. And then I left and I never felt led to go back there and talk to him again. I don't know if he's still there. I have no idea. But I had that conversation with him. Obviously, the church is still there. It was very uncomfortable for me to do that. However, after I did it, there must have been a plan and a purpose. And sometimes we don't always see the plan and purpose. Like, I don't know what led to that guy when I told him God loves him. What happened? Why God wanted me to say that to him? I know nothing about his life. I know nothing after his life. Like, we parted ways. I've never seen that pastor at that church ever again. So I don't know what my point, like, the end of that story is. I just know I had to go do that. Like, have you... Like, tell me about a time maybe when you felt kind of silly, if you've ever experienced that. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've always been that great Christian woman to be like, okay, I'll just do it.
No, we all experience that. And that's an invitation, I think, from God also to test him. Because the devil would never tell you, go share Jesus with someone. The devil would never tell you, mm-mm, go tell your coworker that I love them. And so that's a simple, easy way to test to see whether the spirit, the voice you're hearing is from God or not. Is it in line with the word of God? Is it consistent with God's nature and its character? So you answered the Lord's invitation and he met you. You had peace that you had done what God wanted you to do after you, in both of those examples that you gave. And I certainly have experienced that. And have I missed sometimes? Most definitely. I remember driving in the car near the neighborhood of a friend I hadn't seen in many years because we moved farther north and we went to different churches. And I thought about Robin and I thought, I wonder how she is and what she's doing. And I thought, well, I have time. I could check in on her. This is, you know, I don't remember if we even had cell phones then, but I could check in on her and see how she's doing. But I thought, no, I have my schedule and my agenda. And I just resisted that nudge to check in on Robin. And I never followed through on it. Well, the next time I heard anything about Robin was from the family years later that she had passed. And so I'm thinking, oh, I don't know what God had for me or what he had for Robin if I had tried to get in touch with her, just like I felt he was nudging me to do. But instead, I preferred my own way. And that's all a part of our training and walk with the Lord, is we learn to recognize what is like him and how he does things and know his voice. And I feel like I missed it then. And so it helps to be able to compare the situations. Like when I heard that scripture come into my heart that I had never memorized or what wasn't on my radar screen to pay attention to, I thought, okay, that's God's voice. And I don't want to miss it like I've missed before. Because every invitation we have from God is an opportunity. And so we don't want to miss those. And that's why this book can be so helpful and valuable to you, is to help you be able to have exercises in hearing God's voice and treasuring that.
Yeah. Again, you can buy that book at sunnysbook.com, S-U-N-N-Y-S, book, B-O-O-K.com. And you can learn more about how you can hear from God, because he wants to use you to impact other people on a regular basis. And so, you know, those two examples that I gave, like, it was so out of my norm and it wouldn't stop. The idea of going to talk to these people wouldn't stop until I completed the mission. And I guess it's good to complete the mission than not, because like you said, a missed opportunity or a missed invitation, you don't know where that could have led. Now, God always has a way to, like, use someone else if we decide not to do that. But I mean, I think of Job. And for the people who don't understand who Job was, he was a very righteous man, a very wealthy man who loved God more than anything. And so Satan had a conversation with God. So if you don't think that God and Satan talk, then you're mistaken, because scripture tells us that they do. In fact, Jesus had an encounter with Satan face to face when he was here on earth. And that was, you know, we hear about the temptations that Jesus went through. And the scripture says that he was tempted in all things that we deal with, everything, whether it was sexuality, drugs, addiction, everything we could be tempted, money, because the love of money is the root of all evil, not money itself, but the love. So everything that we were tempted with, he was also tempted with. And so they've had this conversation since the beginning of time. It's not just when God kicked Lucifer out of heaven and a third of the angels that they stopped communicating. So we see in scripture that Satan goes up to the heavenly realms, or I don't know exactly how that works. He doesn't go to heaven, but he's up there in the heavenly realms and they're having this conversation together. And God says, "Have you looked at my wonderful servant named Job?" And he's like, "Yeah, but he only loves you because he's rich and he's wealthy and he has health and he has a family and he has all the worldly possessions." And God's like, God knew that's not true about Job. And Job went through so much hardship in life. And God allowed that to happen because it was such a lesson for all of us to learn. That God never abandons us during, that's why the footprints in the sand poem really means a lot to me, because when I've went through my miscarriages or when I've gone through the loss of my best friend and my dad and my uncle and the loss that I've gone through so much loss. It was God had to carry me, and I could go back to Job and realize, even though I love God, bad things can happen to me. And it's not necessarily because of me, but my story might impact someone who is going to walk through a similar path. So Job went through all this stuff, disease. He lost his kids. I don't think he lost his, did he lose his wife? I don't remember. No, he might. No, I don't think so. But he lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his children. He lost everything. And then he still never turned his back on God. And then what did God do? Restore everything that he had lost. And the whole idea was he had to teach us a lesson about, you know, we're going to go through some hard stuff. Yes. And so we could all go back and remember the story of Job. And that kind of helps build our faith. So what are some faith building things that you've gone through where God has come alongside us? Because for me, it was the loss of my kids. And I hated God for a long time. And the temptation of drinking was there. But I always thought, for a while, I thought it was just me being strong. I look back and I see everywhere God was. And I was the one in the footprints in the sand where he was carrying me. And so what are some things that you've gone through where you've been in that footprints in the sand, or you've been the Job and God has brought you through? I know you talked about cancer, but I'm sure there's some other things in your life that made you stronger to where you are today to write this book.
Yes, certainly. Well, of course, there have been marital problems. Every marriage goes through struggles. The Lord just comforted me, bringing up scripture into my heart, and said that her light will not go out by night. And if you recognize that, it's from the Proverbs 31 woman. I felt like a nighttime had come into our marriage. But I knew that God was, this is how, why it's so important to become intimate with him. That's what this first volume in a series of four is all about. I knew that God wanted me to be able to pour out all my pain, all my disappointment, all my sorrow, my expectations even, to lay them down on him and to let him comfort me as his little child. And he did that. He restored our marriage relationship. And as I mentioned to you at the beginning, now we're about to celebrate 58 years of marriage. And God has given me the man of my dreams. Now, sometimes I had to hold on to the promises of God to believe that. And God has just been so good to us in that way in our marriage, but it's been the same way in our finances. We believed in tithing in principle, practiced it erratically, not faithfully. And we found that because my husband's always been in commission sales, nearly about 54 of those years, the income goes up and down, up and down. And barely have our needs met, you know, sometimes like we run out of money before the end of the month kind of situation. And we just give what we could to God. Well, that never worked. We finally got God's word into our hearts and realized that when you put him first, and money and the budget is not first in your life, God will see to it that the money and the budget is met faithfully. And that the more faithful we were to him, the more he allowed us to have an abundance and an overflowing so that we could give to others and other ministries. And that has been such a release, to be released from that spirit of mammon, if you will, worrying about the money thing, and just being able to put God first. And that he blesses us with opportunities that we didn't know were out there, blesses us with favor that is only a God-given favor, that we acquired or earned it in any way. So we're so thankful for these lessons in life that he's given us. And in child's rearing, you know, all along, every stage and phase of our life. And I know we have people in our audience that are students, some are working, some are retired, but all along the way and in every phase and in every stage, God has been faithful. And I can't encourage anyone enough to just go ahead and yield yourself to him and say, God, I know you're not a liar. This is hard for me. My unbelief. I know you're not a liar. Help me to trust you more. Put him first.
Oh, that's beautiful. I agree with you because I've seen that in my own life too. And so if someone's really struggling with something really difficult, it's not easy. I mean, that's why it's called faith, because you're believing in something you can't see. I can't physically see God. He's there. I can't see him. And so I'm trusting in something I can't see to fulfill a need that I have. And that's why it's called faith. And every time I've needed something, he has been there. He has followed through. He has been faithful. Even when I hated him so badly, I see where God was the entire time. Where I thought God left me, I look back, I'm like, whoa, he was there the whole time. He never left me. I'm the one who just couldn't see him because I was in such a place of pain and hurt. And sometimes people fall away from God because they're just so incredibly hurt, so deep inside. The wound is so huge and so deep. But we are going into Holy Week this week. And to my knowledge, Jesus is the only God, because remember, we believe in the triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's the only God and all the religions that sacrificed himself for the people.
Yes.
And he did that because there was a sin issue that separated us from God. And he wanted to bring us all to him because he loves every single one of us. And he wants that relationship that Sunny talks about in her book. And so he made the ultimate sacrifice and he went through all this pain and he was an innocent man. He did no crime. I mean, God sent his only son who was the perfect sacrifice. He was all man and all God and without sin. So he's the only perfect human being that ever walked this earth. And he died for us for this relationship. And I remember sitting there and remember, I hated going to church at this point, right? And somehow I worked at a Christian radio station. So one side was really Christian. One side was more like talk radio, but, you know, Christian undertones. And so the word of God was always around me 5 days a week. So somehow I found my way to a church on a Good Friday. And remember, I had this deep, 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 deep wound, this cut that was inside that no one could fix. I had already lost 3 babies, and I was just so hurt and in pain. And I found myself in church, don't know why, and God said to me, do you think I would have gone through all the pain and suffering on that cross just to hurt you? And in that moment, I was released from all that pain that was swelled up inside of my heart. And I was bawling because the Lord finally spoke to me. And he finally released me from the deepest wounds I've ever felt. And so as we go into Holy Week, I hope that, you know, people pick up your book. And if they're in that pain where they hate God so much because the pain is so deep,
yes,
that they'll have that moment that they'll let God talk to them, come in and really talk to him, because he's the only one that's going to wipe away. Because even doesn't scripture say, one day I will wipe away all the tears from your eyes and all the pain you've ever felt on this earth?
Yes.
I clung on to that. And yeah, it still hurts to know that, you know, I lost children, but the deep, deep, deep wound that I was feeling that stopped me from a lot of things in life, he removed. Yes. And only he could do it.
Only he could do it, yes. And there may be people in your audience, Amber, that feel betrayed, that feel abandoned. But I believe God wants them to know, each one of us to know, that he's for you and he's with you. And he says he will never let go of his hold on you if you are his. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not his, it's very easy to belong to Jesus. All you have to do is say to the Lord, I'm a sinner. Nobody has to tell us that. We know that. I'm a sinner. I've departed from your ways. But Lord, forgive me and have mercy and save me. Wash me and cleanse me so that I can have fellowship with you and live with you and for you all the days of my life. Something simple like that. It's all it takes to become his child and belong mm-hmm. to him. So that then you will begin to understand his ways and hear his voice.
Well, thank you so much, Sunny, for spending time with us and telling us about your journey on how you became an author and wrote a book so we can be closer with God. I appreciate you so much. And if anyone wants to reach out to Sunny, you can go to sunnysbooks.com. That's SunnysBook, sunnysbook.com. And you could purchase that book for yourself. So I appreciate you so much, Sunny.
Thank you so much, Amber. Appreciate it. It was a joy.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show. EBSRA LLC is a registered investment advisor. The information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investment, or investment strategies. Investment involves risk and unless otherwise stated are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategies discussed.